dear Lord. What a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm constipated, Darren!
Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not funny, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation here on FUBAR Radio. I'm your host, Andrew White, and today we've got a jam-packed, lovely show in store. I've got my good friend Alex Moneypenny in the studio with me. We'll be going through the headlines, the bottom lines, and everything else you might have missed in the news. We've got a mystery guest who is a very exciting back-in-the-day meme. If you can remember this guy, he's an OG from internet virality. Very excited to talk to him. And then we'll have Mark Simmons, previously of this parish, in the studio. Used to have a show here on FUBAR Radio. Now he's coming in to guest, promote his brand new tour and his new YouTube special. He is the king of one-liners on the comedy circuit. Very excited to talk to him and also play him some of his previous FUBAR statements. We've gone through the archives, see if he can remember what he said, why he said it, and yeah, that's all coming up in the show. But for now, as we do every week, let's start with the news. Firstly, with hopefully some hopeful news that maybe some Starmer success can stave off Reform's rise, as Wes Streeting has announced that the NHS appointment pledge has been met already. The recruitment into the NHS is working. We are on track for the targets that have been set, and I can only hope, this is one of my big hopes for the Labour government, having taken over from 14 years of Tory rule, is that they can fix the NHS. Obviously because healthcare is important and a human right, but also because, I don't know if you remember, the peak of the NHS in the mid-2000s under the new Labour government, around that sort of time, when everyone had the lowest waiting times possible to healthcare, we had a brilliant show called You've Been Framed. Yes, you see, when people have free and easy access to healthcare, they are much more willing to hurt themselves for, even considering inflation, not a lot of money. Genuinely, that show was made by the NHS's success. Because if you look at the America version of You Being Framed, it's shit, right? No one's willing to hurt themselves that seriously because they know they'll get a medical bill at the end of it. You watch it, it's like, ow, I stubbed my toe. It's like, oh, look at this silly toddler stubbing their toe. Nobody gives a shit, right? We want to see pensioners almost dying. That's what we want. We want grannies taking a tumble, like, on hard concrete. And that's all I can hope is that maybe we can fix the NHS and get You've Been Framed back, you know? Like, back in the day, it used to be, if someone hurt yourself, it'd be an amazing wreck. Nowadays, it's everyone's concerned, you know, are you okay? Oh my God, that looked like it hurt. Back in the day, it was like, oh my God, we are going to be rich. Were we filming that? Let's send that to Harry Hill. I can't wait to see what he has to say about this. Honestly, if we can fix the NHS, get You Being Framed back on our studio, it'll be an economic boom. We'll be living large off ITV usage fees. That's my one hope for this NHS success under Starmer. Back over in America, in Trump's sort of interesting first few weeks, we have a story that caught my eye here, which is conservative writer and self-proclaimed Christian philosopher who accused drag queens of grooming kids has been arrested for grooming kids. Yes, conservative writer and self-proclaimed Christian philosopher Aaron Gleason of Florida was arrested despite all his claims that drag queens were the threats to children. It turns out it was him. And if you look, not even that deep, if you just look on the surface level of these sorts of stories, it's always so much more common that a right-wing anti-drag person will be a sex offender than a drag queen. I don't know where these ideas come from, because it doesn't even make any logical sense for a drag queen to be a sex offender, right? If I were to sex offend, you can never be too sure with male comedians. If I were to sex offend, right, I wouldn't choose the job of drag queen, right? Just because I don't think drag is very conducive to sex offending, having to tape up your own dick, right? Think about it logically, right? If a drag queen could genuinely catch and isolate a child in heels, might I add, they'd have to wait for a 20-minute unfurling process. It doesn't make sense, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some men in dresses to be scared of, but they're mostly in the Vatican. Back in the UK and in London, a couple that bought a £32 million mansion in Notting Hill have had their purchase refunded by a judge after the vendor failed to disclose an extreme moth infestation. Yes, this is a couple who bought the £32 million home only to find it was riddled with moths that ruined their clothes, spoiled their wine, and forced them to install 400 traps. Now, obviously, a harrowing ordeal for anyone, but you know, I could cry more for a £32 million purchase. If you can afford that, I don't really give a shit about you. But I do think that maybe we've unearthed the secret to sort of extreme wealth inequality here, to the billionaires that we need to get rid of. And this is an inheritance tax that is not taking away money, but instead giving something, right? We're allowing a £10 million, this is my pitch to you, £10 million allowance. Every £1,000 over £10 million of personal wealth, we will release one moth into your home, right? And that's how we're going to curb billionaires in this society, right? You get hit £11 million, so £1 million over the £10 million. That's 1,000 moths, right? Maybe you think, I can live with 1,000 moths for £1 million. Okay, you get to a billionaire, that's 990 million moths. This is the solution, people, right? Start investing in moth farms, put them into Elon Musk's mansion, we'll sort out wealth inequality immediately. Further north in the UK, a very different story from our £32 million mansion, a proposed Hooters franchise in Newcastle has garnered a lot of criticism for its regression to grubby page three culture. The chain, known for its scantily dressed waitresses, is genuinely known as a breastaurant. And I just don't think that this has legs in the UK. I don't think Hooters should work in the UK. I just don't think we're a sexy sort of nation in that way, you know? Like, if you think about American sex appeal, right, like Baywatch and like lifeguards running across the beach, Pamela Anderson, David Hasselhoff, we don't have that. What's British lifeguards? A spotty teenager in a leisure centre polo top. It's not the same, right? I just don't think we should be going down that route. We should be carving our own path, focusing on our own culture, not trying to get the sort of American sexiness. And speaking of our own culture, it's very much in the air for the Football World Cup, as the Saudi Arabian ambassador has announced there will be zero alcohol served at the 2034 tournament, not even in hotels. It'll be an entirely dry tournament, which I don't really care about. You know, when it comes to a murderous, oppressive, totalitarian regime buying good grace through sport, I'm not bothered by the lack of carling. But hey, at least a team of Saudi thieves will never commit a handball. Now, I love football, and I will get into it a bit later with my brilliant guest, Alex, who is a podcaster and a commentator, perhaps in this arena. But for now, yeah, I don't really care about the dry World Cup. But I am hoping that maybe this will finally make some people see sense that Saudi Arabia is not the place to go for the tournament. Two final headlines before we get to the ending of this. You ever see a headline and you think, well, this is a cheating husband whose lie has gone too far. This just got out of hand. He's come up with an excuse, and now we've got to this headline. Can wild monkeys in Florida give people herpes? Good question. Yep, I hope that worked out for you, sir. I hope that got away with whatever you wanted to get away with. And finally, my spirit animal. I love this story. Cake bandit possum hospitalized after eating an entire Costco chocolate cake. That is, what a dream of an animal. That possum ate an entire Costco. I didn't know Costco, it's a bulk store. That Costco cake, that could feed an Indian wedding, right? It's huge, it's massive. This possum ate it all to themselves. That is bloody impressive. I love this possum. I love Costco. Although it's dangerous to shop, you know, they say don't shop hungry. Don't shop hungry in Costco, right? You shop hungry in Tesco's, you're like, oh no, maybe I didn't need that Cumberland sausage. You shop hungry in Costco and you're like, oh, maybe I didn't need 52 chicken Kiev. So just, look, I sympathize with this possum and I love him greatly. Cake Bandit, this is the end of the story. Cake Bandit is currently being treated for both her recent dietary habits and unrelated lead toxicity. What a life. What a messy queen. Now, usually I'd end my opening monologue with some parking news, but we'll sadly have to, pardon the pun, park that section today as I have an important appeal. This may be the last ever Pulse of the Nation. We were contracted with FUBAR Radio to do an initial 6 weeks, and unbelievably, this is our sixth episode, perhaps our last. Although the station are keen to keep going, I have racked up a lot of debt for them in unsuccessful PCN appeals and Simon Kiguangela's £10,000 usage fee for saying, "Why are you gay?" on air. Now, what this means is that we have to raise £20,000 to keep the show going, and you can help by phoning into today's telethon. Yes, we're running a FUBAR Radio telethon to save Pulse of the Nation. We're taking phone-in donations on 07827333566. I cannot stress this enough. That is my actual personal phone number. Give us a text if you're enjoying the show. But more importantly, call into the studio 07827333566 to donate and keep the Pulse of the Nation beating. For now, though, perhaps my final ever co-host, my dear friend, podcaster, actor and writer, Alex Moneypenny. Hello.
You just gave out your actual number.
Yes, yeah. But you know, I figured that it's a lost cause at this point. My phone is out there on the internet anyway. I regularly get calls from people thinking that I run venues that I performed comedy at. They're like, oh, hi, do you run the Fording Bridge Victoria Rooms? I'm like, no, I just did a gig there once. Like, oh, can we book it? I'm like, no, I don't run it.
On phone numbers, do you have the Why Are You Gay Man's number? I'm sure he has a name. Does he have a name?
Simon Grangela. Yeah. I don't know. Do we have his number? We have his number. Oh, my goodness. Okay, yeah, that's
like
a lot
GDPR
of power.
GDPR is disallowing me from getting that number. I would love to chat to him. What a bit of podcasting, by the way. If you haven't
Thank
checked
you
out
very
that
much.
Episode, not to, it's incredible.
Yeah. Stop listening to this immediately and go to episode 4. It was really cracking. Yeah, he was a great... Well, he wasn't a great guy, but he was a great chat. Well, interesting.
You kept your cool really impressively. I was. Yeah, it was a frustrating conversation, but it was really nice to hear.
Thank you. Why? Because he kept his cool. Like, he wasn't like yelling like, oh, we should... Well, actually, he conceded that we shouldn't kill the gays.
But you know, it's progress.
Yeah, well, I think I was really keen to get that in there just to be like, okay, well, that's something at least.
Also, on your NHS thing, another thing downstream is bringing back not only Harry Hill, who needs to come back, but Gunge.
Gunge! Oh my god, people used to be Gunged all the time.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need it back from kids' TV.
I wonder, because there was sort of like a Me Too movement in 2020, and a few comedians sort of like just disappeared surreptitiously, like, well, if this comes back, it's coming for me, and you've not seen from them since. I wonder whether the same's happened with Gunge, whether it's like, it's actually sort of like a carcinogen, and it's like, oh god, there's going to be a Nickelodeon like class action lawsuit for all this like Gunge cancer we've caused.
Yeah.
Let's just quietly drop
Gunge.
There's
a panorama. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a news night coming.
Anne
for
Robinson
Gunge.
Comes out and goes, it was a big problem.
Yeah. I wonder which poor celebrities we've lost to Gunge cancer. maybe let's not bring Gunge back.
But, God.
I said in my introduction, you're a podcaster, actor, writer, a very multifaceted man, Alex. You got a podcast, The Different Knock, all about Arsenal. You've written a musical, The Shocking Truth About Flat Earth, which very recently previewed. Yeah, you're doing everything.
I just do a lot of things. Whether I do them well or not is another question, but I'm very, very excited to be here. Yeah, I should say on air that Andrew contributed a lot to The Shocking Truth About Flat Earth. In fact, the joke that got the biggest laugh was the line that Andrew wrote. I was there going...
I love that. And any comedy night, if I've ever given any comedian a line, I'm just sat at the back like, that's mine, actually.
It's actually my joke. Just stand up like, actually, guys, that was on me.
Yeah. Although my friend Sanjay, who co-hosted last week, he'll do my jokes that I've given him, and then he'll just go, Andrew wrote that.
That's nice.
It is nice, but sometimes it's because they go badly and he just goes, Andrew liked that. That's why I didn't like it.
Joking aside, have you ever seen someone steal one of your jokes with no credit and been like, that's not okay?
No, because, first of all, I think my jokes are very stealable in that way because they are very personal. Yeah. I've had like online jokes sort of like get ripped without credit, and like Politics Bible on Facebook stole one of my Twitter jokes without credit. But I mean,
no one can do your hairline joke. Do you know what I mean?
That's... Yeah. That's why. Do you think I'm wearing a cap in the studio?
Trademarked.
Yeah. I have no idea what to do with it. Actually, our mystery guest later is a barber, so I might ask him. Now, before we go into the break, we've got some callers waiting for our telethon.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, I want to pitch something to you because you know, your musical theatre, football, you're all over the place, in a good way.
Literally.
Yeah. you actually in The Boy in the Dress at the Royal Shakespeare Company.
I was, yeah.
David Walliams' musical. Now, you did something quite impressive, which is make me care about David Walliams' literature. It was a very good musical. You were very good in it.
No comment.
No. but I thought, I'm a bit cynical. I think it's quite easy to do a David Walliams esque musical. So I've got some pitches for you. I've got some titles and some. I want to see if you'd star in them, these productions.
Yeah.
So these are sort of like children's books and musicals. Number one, The Fart What Wrote an Opera. So this is when Billy Bumtrumpet's gaseous fart cloud takes the shape of a human man, Eric, the unlikely duo bond over a love of 18th century opera and set out to win Simon Cowell's new reality show, Britain's Next Top Aria. What do you reckon?
Why? But I would watch that, and I think I'd play Eric.
Yeah, I was just going to pitch you for the gaseous fart cloud.
Yeah.
You'd be up for that?
I think so. I think maybe the curly hair is like makes sense for a fart man.
We can get hair and makeup to work on that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most fleshed out. This next one, this is sort of like stripped back, bare bones production, sort of very much straight to the heart of a Walliams tale. This is Granny and the Incongruous Noun. It's sort of like Jamie Lloyd style, minimal set and costume. Just
black
like,
box.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be playing the concept of bogeys opposite the love interest, a slippy banana peel. And it seems very silly, but there's actually a serious message about elder abuse.
Yeah, it's all a comment. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, cool. And I've not fleshed
no
this one out at all.
No costumes, just blacks.
Exactly.
Just everything's. Yeah.
People, the issues are there. Then there's no sort of like subtext. People can go, oh wow, this really has exposed a lot of my prejudices. Again, this last one I've not really fleshed. It's just more of a title. The prolapse heard around the world. Yeah, I'm not quite sure where we're going with that. But we'd love you to get into a workshop if you'd be up for that.
I'd be up for that. I think there's a song in that.
Let's hit song
the
in that.
Prolapse that were around the world.
There we go.
You can't use that for promo.
Quite. Yeah.
That's TM'd.
That's TM'd. Oh, God. I can't afford any more legal debt. We really can't. Well, hopefully, we're going to save the show. We've got our first caller on the line, Sanjay Arif, previously of this radio station, just last week. He called in, hopefully, to donate some money.
Hi, Andrew. I hear you're trying to save the show. I'd love to come on it again, but... last time I bought us those meal deals, you said you'd get them on expenses. So if you could cover that first, that would be great. I hope it all goes well. Bye.
Okay, well, we are now minus £6.80 on the fundraiser.
So. What was that sound effect when he picked up, or someone picked up the phone?
Yeah.
It's like a phone from the...
Yeah, we've got a rotary phone out in the producer box. I don't know if you know that. Okay, well, our fundraiser currently stands at £20,000, £6 and 80p.
I could cover the meal deal if you need that.
Well. Okay, well, we're neutral. We're back to £20,000. Hopefully more people will call in. In the meantime, we're going to head to a break and we'll see you in just a moment.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. On the line, we have our very special mystery guest. His name is Danny Andrews. Now, Alex, you've already admitted you know who this wonderful gent is. Would you like to sort of pretend to guess, ask him some questions?
Can I show my YouTube search history, which 3 days ago... Can I say the phrase?
Go on.
I put into my YouTube fish in a rice cake, and I found this, and I showed it to my partner Sophie, and she didn't really get it, I'll be honest. I am obsessed with you. Also, the fish and the rice cakes have worked. You are a buff man. Look at this.
Yeah. Oh, it's impressive, the glow up from that. So this is Danny Andrews, who in 2006 was in the BBC documentary Babyface Bodybuilders, at just 17 years old. How is it to look back at your 17-year-old self, Danny?
It's cringeworthy.
I find it very endearing. So in this famous viral clip, you list out your daily routine, which I'll read out now. 8 a.m. fish and a rice cake. 10 a.m. fish. 12 p.m. fish and a rice cake. 2 p.m. fish. 4 p.m. fish and a rice cake. Then after the workout, fish. Then fish and a rice cake. And then just before bed, fish. So lots of fish, lots of rice cake. And that was you were in preparation for a competition, Mr. Cumbria, I believe.
Yes, and believe it or not, that diet I only did for 2 days, and like people think I still eat it now. And the funny thing is, I don't even like fish.
What was the fish? What type of fish were you having?
It was obviously, I was between 16 and 17 years old. Mm-hmm. I just left school. I didn't have a job. So it was the cheapest one. I don't even think it had a name. I think it was just called fish. So it wasn't called
fish. Amazing. It's got into
what I find so amazing about that clip, Danny, is you're saying fish, you're just saying the same thing over and over again, but in between every bit, you're like, a fish and then a rice cake and then... And then later, what is it? And then it's a fish.
Yeah,
the pauses are incredible.
Yeah, it's not due to, well, I'm not the cleverest person in the world, but it was, obviously I had a camera in my face, being 16, and I was trying to, like, help the viewer out, out the times. I had to remember, I had to add up 2 hours. That's what I was doing in my head, to be fair. That's what I was doing. And it makes me appear thicker than what I actually am, because I'm not as thick as I look in the viral video.
How did that become viral? Because obviously I know it is viral, but I don't know how that actually occurred.
It was the first episode. YouTube had just come out, and people were telling me I was a meme, and I thought it was a mimmy, because nobody knew what a meme was then, and people were like, you're writing Mimi, and I was like, Mimi, I'm a Mimi. And like, nobody knew what a meme was then. And it was like, mine came out, then Charlie bit my finger, and they were like the first ever viral memes, I guess. And I think that's why it's still kind of in people's heads, because it's the first one, because memes come and go, don't they?
Yeah.
Like now.
Yeah.
But I think because that was like one of the first, I think that's why it's still kind of remembered.
It was the perfect storm. Have you ever used it as like, as sort of cultural capital on a night out or anything? Have you ever used it on a girl or anything?
No, because it's not the sexiest thing, is it? Like, yeah, but I don't flex that I'm the fish and rice cake guy, but I've literally, I hated it. I hated social media. Hmm. I got trolled. So I didn't have social media up until about 4 or 5 years ago. I started like my Instagram and stuff, and it was still quite negative. And then the more I've put myself out there and like embraced it, the more positive the comments are. And it used to be 90% bad comments, and now it's 90% good comments.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of trying to milk it for everything it's worth now.
Oh, go for it.
Good, you should, yeah.
Yeah, I've created a business from it, and I've created my own protein rice cakes.
Yeah, so. you can get your rice cakes at dannysricecakes.co.uk, a lovely website. With lots of, there they are. Look at that, white chocolate and chocolate.
I've come prepared.
Amazing.
I love that. Yeah. Are you sure you haven't used it on a girl?
No, why would a girl find that attractive?
Oh, mate, I'd use it every single time. You know, fish and rice cake.
I think my following is, like, when I was single, unfortunately, it was just mainly men and gym goers. So, yeah, I don't think it's ever worked on a girl. A lot of girls have found out I'm the fish and rice cakes guy and used to ghost me.
No!
Yeah, honest to God, because it's not cool, because they only, like... Yeah, and they're judging me from when I was like 16 years old. So yeah, it's kind of it used to be kind of tough. So
yeah, oh, that's I'm really sorry to hear that, because I see that video, I find it so endearing. I don't think you come across as thick at all. For me, you're just like 16 year old kid, so focused, like single minded on this training and this competition. I love it so much. So yeah, obviously you said it's a sort of unsuspecting fame, like gave you so much anxiety at the time. You've leaned into it and embraced it now. What's been the best thing to come off it?
The best thing to come out of it is probably the business. So creating my own protein rice cake has probably been the best thing to come out of it. But meeting new people, being on the on a radio station today. Yeah. So like little opportunities which I probably wouldn't get just being Danny Andrews, but being Danny Andrews, aka the fish and rice cakes guy, I get a couple more opportunities than I would just being me.
Great. Yeah, well, I think you're great. And I've gone and checked out all your content and stuff. I noticed that you're a barber as well as a very ripped, well-trained man. I've got a question for you, actually. I was saying to Alex earlier about my hairline. I don't know if you can see where the camera is, but I've got a very sort of like weird, proper bad, proper going back, and it's thinning on the top. What would you recommend in your professional capacity?
Turkey.
There's all sorts of things, avenues you can go down. There's the hair fibers. I think that Ronnie from Love Island does them.
Mm.
Or if you don't want to go down that, there's scalp tattooing, there's hair transplants.
Oh.
Or there's just keeping what you've got and just maybe taking the sides a little bit shorter.
Right, I see. So the top seems more purposeful.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes trying to keep too much on top and trying to hide, kind of just maybe just embrace your baldness. Maybe just go full...
Would you ever just go? I like it, by the way.
Thank you. I have thought about just before. Yeah, I don't quite
have you
know.
Tried
what
it?
To, I've not tried it. No, I do agree. When it's shorter and like tighter on the sides, it is much better because it looks purposeful.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's just all over the place, it looks like I'm trying to hide it. Yeah. Oh well, thank you for that advice. I really appreciate that. Speaking of tattoos, you got a scalp tattoo. I didn't even know that was an option. You are a very well tattooed man.
Is that Albert Einstein on your left arm?
Yeah, it's quite ironic considering I'm known as being fit.
what is such a great selection of tattoos. What, do you have any rice and fish cake tattoos?
Yes, I have.
Yes. Yeah.
You said that so embarrassingly, as if it's in a place we're not allowed to see.
Well, it kind of it is.
Oh, he's lowering the camera. It. Oh, it's on the thigh. Okay. Oh, yes, fish and rice cake, and that's your logo for your rice cakes and your t-shirts
and
stuff.
Yeah, I thought, if I get it tattooed, like. It'll get loads of views, so it's worth having it on me for life.
Yeah.
It didn't get much views.
Oh, that's so funny.
What inspired the others, like Einstein, for example?
So I've got a space and science sleeve
on
this arm. And then I've got all my heroes on this arm.
Yeah.
Hmm. I've got Greek mythology on this leg, TV and film on this leg.
Wow.
And then I've got like crazy. I've just gone crazy on the stomach, and then crazy on the back.
You'd be great in a pub quiz.
Yeah, yeah. your body's just like Trivial Pursuit categories. It's amazing.
Yeah, so I've got a girlfriend. I've just got with her, and she's like, "Oh, I didn't know you had that tattoo." And we've been together like 5 months now, and she's finding new tattoos. So
that's fun.
Sometimes I forget, and someone's like, "Oh, I love that. I love your Will Smith tattoo." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I got that 10 years ago."
That's fun. Just finding random people on your body.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Well, look,
I could do my time again, I probably wouldn't get as many faces, because it is kind of sometimes it's scary when you put like the landing light on of a night time. You've got no top on, and all these faces are looking at you. So maybe I wouldn't. If I could do my time again, I'd probably get them a bit different.
Have you got anyone who is still around and could sort of do anything that might bring you into disrepute, if I put it that way?
Oh, yeah, any problematic people?
Yeah, there's been a couple. I've got, like, no Rolf Harris's or anything like that. But, like, I think I'm safe. The safest one's David Attenborough.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping that he's a good, solid dude. I have. I've got a Stephen Hawkins, and I heard he went to Epstein's Island.
Oh no!
Starting to get nervous.
Yeah,
I've not heard
list.
Anything since, so I think I'm all right.
Yeah, I think you're early the clear there.
Oh, I hope you're right about Attenborough. I really do.
Yeah, I'm worried about.
Good man.
I should be.
I think he's a good dude.
But people say only the good die young, and he is 98 now, so. You know, you never know.
It'll be terrible.
Yeah. No, that's what. What a tapestry of amazing people, and what an amazing story that you've turned everything around from this sort of like meme that you just didn't want all this attention, and now you're making good of it. Yeah, it's really cool. I wish you all the best. You can go to Danny's ricecakes.co.uk and get these right. They actually do look very tasty. Yeah. I'm not a very sort of fitness guy, but are they nice? Are they good tasting?
They're good for everybody. So if you're not even into fitness and stuff, they're a good low-calorie, high-protein snack.
Great, amazing. Thank you so much, Danny. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Danny.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a lovely man.
That what was a nice guy.
Yeah, that was a really... I'd never heard of this fish and rice cakes before, by the way, until it was texted to me that he'd be on the show, and I was obsessed with it immediately.
What a genuinely lovely dude. Also, I didn't like the bit when he said he was thick, because he isn't.
No, yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, this is why I was very keen
I'm
to
give
say
him a hug.
Yeah, it'd be very hard. He is a very jacked man, pure muscle.
The fish and rice cakes have really worked.
There you go. That's the top tip. Whilst we had Danny on the line, we actually had a phone call. Into the studio for our Save Pulse of the Nation telethon from Joe Wells.
Hello, Andrew. It's Joe Wells here. I love the show. I really liked it when I got to have my voice note read on the show. One day I dream I'll be invited on as an actual guest on the show. I'd love that to happen. I would like to pledge £1,000 towards Pulse of the Nation, please.
Wow. £1,000. Wow. That's great. Thank you so much, Joe. However, I do not accept brown nosing and I will never have you on the show. But I will take your money. Thank you very much. Right, before we head into our next break, we've got a little section we always do where we head into the local Facebook forums because, you know, the big headlines, the national news, it can get a bit draining sometimes. I prefer the sort of little local things. And this one starts in Pontefract. Absolutely fuming at the graffiti at the park today. And this is a sign at a park, and it says caution, model aircraft flying, and then somebody has crossed out the word underneath, and it just says caution, model aircraft flying is gay.
What's that website? Panda Zero.
Panda Zero, where?
Why is it Panda Zero?
What are you looking at?
Pontefract and District Aero Model Association.
So that's so funny that I've got like, oh look, they've called aircraft flying gay, and you're like, what is that hyperlink?
What? They could have done a QR code at least.
Yeah, I don't think model aircraft flying is a sort of QR code queued in sort of industry. But I just think this, I know as a gay man, I'm going to say this is okay. Model aircraft flying is gay.
How do you feel about the use of gay as an insult?
I don't mind it so much. I think it is like generationally.
Yeah.
It sort of has a second meaning that I think is devoid of actual like sexuality.
Yeah.
So if someone says something is gay, it's like for me that exists in a sort of separate bracket to somebody actually having a go at my sexuality.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I don't feel qualified to comment, but I do feel like going to school in the 2000s, it had just such a different meaning.
Yeah.
But it's nice to hear that you feel that.
Yeah. I give every listener permission to call one thing this week gay. There you go.
I don't think I can give that permission.
No. Well, you can. I've given you permission. You can now. What would you like to call gay? There's your career flashing before your eyes. Oh my God, my musical theatre career is down the drain. Trying to trap you. Right, let's move on to our next forum. This time from Paynton in Devon. To the lads, I just caught touching themselves in my shed. I've requested the CCTV from my neighbour, and I will be going to the police. And then this is my favourite detail. My brother knows a lad that owns a sword shop.
And the backdrop is like such a lovely cartoon image of a spaceship taking off.
So the spaceship has made a heart. I don't know if you can see that. So it's just a little heart image with the spaceship, and it goes, oh, yeah. I know a sword shop and I will chop off your dicks.
I don't think I've ever seen a sword shop.
No, what does this mean? Why is that their go-to, like, what's a threatening thing I could be like?
Yeah.
Oh, you could say, oh, my brother's in a gang, or, like, my dad's a professional boxer, but...
it's also, like, a third degree, isn't it? My brother knows a lad that owns a sword shop.
Yeah.
You could just say, you go to the sword shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you need to go through such a lengthy process?
Also, if this
process?
Sword shop is local, they can just go buy a sword themselves. We're just going to be dueling on the streets of Paynton over this shed masturbating, which I can only assume is what's happening.
Are you allowed to own a sword in the UK?
I don't know, actually. Write it. Give us a call. If you're a sort of sword legislation expert, let us know whether it's legal to own a sword in the UK. I can see Kieran.
Like, could I have a samurai sword?
Googling desperately in the background.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, you can own a sword legally, I've just been told.
You can.
There you go. You know exactly what you're going after this.
What type of sword, though, Kieran?
Well, yeah, what type of sword? This is a good question. You need a sword license.
Yeah, I thought so.
And this final one before we head into the break, from the Geelong Community Information, won't be posting here in future because I was laughed at. Well, if everyone who was laughed at didn't post on Facebook, we wouldn't have this segment. Please keep posting in Geelong Community Information. We appreciate all your stupidness. And very excitingly, we've had another bloody call, Alex.
No,
before we head into the break, we have from Danica, who is the wife of Joe Wells. So maybe she sort of...
Joe Wells sounded like Joe Lycett.
I could see that, yeah.
The way he constructed his sentences.
Very sort of similar intonation. Well, they came up at the same time on the comedy circuit.
I did that.
So that is interesting. So Joe is married to Danica, and Danica's rung in probably to add some more money to the donation. So I'm excited to hear.
Hi, Andrew. I just got a call from NatWest trying to authorise £1,000 payment from Joe to you. What's that about? I can't get hold of him. It's not to do with that fundraiser you're doing for the show, is it? You know we've just had a baby. We can't afford that. Can you... We're going to have to take that back. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, we're back to square zero with the fundraiser. But do call in 07827333566. I cannot stress enough. That is my personal number. We'll see you after the break when we have the brilliant Mark Simmons in the studio.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
8 o'clock in the morning, I'll have fish and a rice cake. At 10 o'clock, I'll have fish. At 12 o'clock, I'll have fish and a rice cake.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Well, this is very exciting. We've actually got a live phone in for our telethon. Obviously, we've had people leave messages, but we've actually got one live on the line. Let's pick this up.
Oh, hello there. I got a text on my mobile phone saying that I need to call the council. I owe some money, is that right?
Yes. If you text this phone number with your bank details, just text it over.
I'm not really sure how to text it, but there is a link here. I don't really know what a link is, but I've been told I just need to press it. And can I give my details over the phone?
No, don't. This is National Radio. Don't give your credit card details over the phone. But if you just email it to me, if you go Andrew White UK.
Right, I just need to find them.
Yeah,
you can just get although them I don't have my glasses on, so I don't really know if that's going to be possible. Maybe you could come round and I could tell you. Have a wee cup of tea.
No, I can't. No, the loneliest epidemic amongst old people now is so bad. You can't even scam them out of their money. It's terrible, isn't it? They just want a chat and a cup of tea. I just want your money, love. We're not going anywhere with this fundraiser. But nevertheless, if it is the last show, at least we're going out with a bang. We've got the brilliant Mark Simmons in the studio.
Oh, good to be here. Thanks
yes.
for having me.
Good to be back.
Good to be back. Yeah, yeah. So I ruined the show before, and then I'm here for the last one of this one as
you,
well.
So. You ruined the show before?
Well, I didn't ruin it, but we just didn't carry on doing it. So.
Because you used to have two shows with Sean Walsh in the studio. Has it changed much being back here at
Yeah,
Fulbar?
There's lights.
There's lights.
Yeah,
you just doing it in the dark before.
Yeah, well, like proper lights to make you look good. That's nice.
Yeah, all these 4K cameras.
So I look back at the old clips and we look terrible, really bad because we're usually really like tired. Yeah. And yeah. So
well, this is the thing: is it used to be all comedians on the station, and it's like, oh, we don't give a shit what the comedians look like. But then more recently, it's been lots of like reality stars. There's a show called Access All Areas, and I was like, you need to make them look good.
It's all clips now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all clips. Like, so we're secondhand benefiting from much more gorgeous people.
4K cameras.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at that.
Look out for that on Instagram at Stand Up Andrew, at FUBAR Radio. And you're of course at Jokes with Mark.
Jokes with Mark,
which
yeah.
is one of the you do so much. You've taken off so much in the last few years. Obviously you got your podcast, Jokes with Mark, you got your brand new tour, Just to Impress. And your YouTube special, Quip Off the Mark, has just gone on youtube.com/Mark Simmons.
Blimey, look at all those plugs. Yeah. So stop listening and go watch go watch all that stuff on
this
YouTube.
This is the second time we've told people to stop listening to this radio.
Yeah. Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's such poor form from us, it really is. But yeah, you got so. And Alex was just saying, I'll make him repeat it on air.
I'm a huge fan of you, genuinely.
Oh wow! Sorry, that's such a surprise.
Such a surprise, isn't it? I've never said that before.
Crikey!
Genuinely, I love it. I think your comedy is really suited to like short form, which is probably really like, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you mean like with clips and things?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is sort of straight and to the point.
Yeah, although, do you plant people ever?
No. But although I get accused of it all the time online, and I'm like, I literally just say, have a look at how many videos I've got. I don't have that many friends.
Like, it'd be a real achievement.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be madness. Yeah. No, never done a plant.
Do you, as we're on the radio and you are previously of this parish, do you have a radio joke, pun?
I do, but yeah. Basically does it, oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on there.
We are uncensored.
No, it's not so much that. It's a rival station.
Oh God.
So the joke is, I really like it, but it doesn't always get a massive response, but I think it's good. So driving in today, flipped on the radio, started listening to Magic, which was rubbish. It's quite a visual art form.
That's good stuff. And speaking of, we've delved into the archives.
Shut up.
So you did Filmish and Newsish with Sean Walsh here. We've got some clips of you talking about things.
Oh, God.
And we'll see if you can remember what you're talking about, what you're referencing. We'll start with this clip here.
Right, so we worked out when it was going to be, and it was in a break time in a classroom, right? Got there.
Yeah.
Everyone was there.
Oh, my God.
Everyone was there.
Oh, what was everyone there for? Which childhood memory are you reliving?
Oh, I've just remembered. My first kiss.
Oh. You planned out your first kiss, and everyone came to watch.
I didn't plan it. Everyone else planned it. That's how it worked at school. This girl, Donna, she was, like, at the time, girls... You know,
Donna.
Her name's Donna.
When did you go to school?
In 1964. So she was really hot, and I'd never had any. No girls weren't interested in me at school because I was really tall and skinny. So she said to someone that she likes me, and then there's this big thing, and then they all just said, at break time, you've got to go into the classroom. So I went up there, and everyone from my year was there and just watched us kiss the first time. And it was so bad. I had this Adidas, I remember it, it's in there now. I had this Adidas coat on, and because I was nervous and shy, I sort of had it up round here because I was a bit like that. That's round by my face for people listening. And then we did it, and we started getting off of each other, and the coat got caught in it, and the coat is being kissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, oh my God, it was so
She was kissing your zip.
She was kissing my zip.
Mm.
And is that uncensored?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't really know what you mean. But, and then she broke up with me like a day later.
Oh no.
But you know, at least I did it.
Yeah, yeah, you got your first kiss out of the way.
Yeah.
And what a public, every kiss after that must be so much lower stakes, less pressure.
Yeah. I mean, at that point I was like 21, so.
What were you doing in classrooms?
That's so funny. We spoke about so many things on that radio show. I've forgotten.
There's a whole archive of life stories. Well, this one is a defense. You got quite defensive over an accusation that you watched a particular TV show. Can you remember what you're defending yourself against here?
Mark Jesus. Simmons watches it.
No, I don't.
He loves watching.
No, I do
he
not.
Does. He stays in.
No, I do he not stay in. Get lost. If I'm at home and my housemate has it on, I'll watch it.
Who's your housemate, your nan?
Sean Walsh, absolutely loving you watching a TV show, but what TV show?
I'm getting PTSD from this.
I have changed. More so than the kiss, weirdly. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so... I can't even think who my housemate would have been.
This was 2018.
I was living in Canterbury. What would my housemate have had on?
That would be embarrassing to watch.
He said, who's your housemate? Your nan. So is it like Holmes Under the Hammer type thing? Or?
Okay, yeah, I'm thinking like EastEnders or something, but yeah. I honestly can't remember.
It's Loose Women.
Loose Women.
You're a big Loose Women fan, according to Sean Walsh.
Yeah, maybe I don't know. Wow, that's, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Deep cut.
Yeah, deep cut.
Wow.
Well, maybe less of a deep cut here, because this is your day-to-day life. Can you remember which lookalikes you get compared to? Well, we've got to save this show first. Still got $20,000 deficit to plug.
How much do you need?
$20,000.
Okay, I'll do it.
You do it?
Yeah.
I'll do it.
If I'm the co-host.
You want a co-host?
Yeah. So
a pay-to-play co-host.
Yeah. How long would that get me? $20,000 for a couple of years?
Few episodes.
I was going to buy a flat, but actually I'm going to change.
Who needs a deposit?
I'm going to invest it here.
That's amazing. I've not seen our listening numbers. I don't know whether that's a wise investment or not. But it would be very fun to have you in for all our different segments, including our next segment. Look at that smooth radio transition.
This is good. This is top stuff.
Now, this is our penultimate section called Fill in the Headlines. We've got some weird, sort of wacky headlines with a missing word or phrase. I want you to tell me what is missing from this headline. Starting out with this week's shocking news that Ringo Starr confirms he has never eaten blank. What was Beatles drummer Ringo Starr? What went through your head?
I think I know what went through his head. Has never eaten. One of us got to say it.
You say it.
I'm not saying it because it's being recorded.
I've given you both the credits to say something is gay if you want. So you can crash them in now if you want.
Ringo Starr, I don't really know much about. I mean, his glasses, that's the only thing I really know about him.
Ate his glasses?
Yeah. And it's probably true, isn't it? It's probably never.
He's never eaten his glasses.
You know what I mean?
So I suppose it's not a wrong answer.
It's not wrong,
but it's not the answer.
I'm going to go for an answer that I think is a realistic answer. Mm-hmm. Sushi.
Never eaten sushi. It's a pizza. Never eaten a pizza.
That's a lie.
He says.
I can't top that.
Come on.
Sorry, that was a bit cheesy.
Look at this.
Yeah, it's
going to stop.
This is more jokes than we've managed in five previous weeks. It really is.
Sorry.
He said on Jimmy Kimmel that he doesn't even know what's in pizza, but he is allergic to some of the ingredients and has never had one.
That's a lie.
Yeah,
that's an anecdote. He's probably had one or two in his life, and that's an anecdote he's sticking by. I'm not buying you have never had a pizza.
Well, isn't Michael Owen be like, I've never seen films? What's the weird thing Michael Owen's never done?
Yeah.
Michael Owen?
Yeah, the football
said anything interesting
about
football.
Is this a new one?
No, sorry. I love how invested you are in the game. You're really panicked. Like, oh, God, no, I don't want to miss out.
He's auditioning for the co-host, mate.
Oh, of course, yes. Well, let's see. Maybe I'll give you some points for this, and maybe we can get you into the
Alex's
chair. Michael Owen just says loads of random stuff, like he's never seen a film. He's like, he said he's seen six films in his entire life.
Yeah. It's just not true, is it?
No, it's surely not true. Right, our last section is a debate. We always have a little debate. Like, oh, hang on. Sorry. We're getting a phone. We're getting a phone call.
Oh no.
Hi, Andrew. Another Andrew here. Lloyd Webber. I was just waterboarding some puppies and sending hate to Patty LuPone on my burner accounts, and I had FUBAR on in the background, as I often do, and I heard your pitch for the Fart What Wrote an Opera, and I called up Tim Rice, and I called up Kerry McIntosh, and we love it. We'd love to make it a reality. I want to put it straight in the Palladium. If you're willing to sell the rights, I've got £50,000 cash. Meet me outside the Paper Slice Pizza Hut in Leicester Square. We'll cad all over, and we'll make the Fart What Wrote an Opera a reality. Let me know.
Oh my goodness, the show's saved!
It's saved!
Andrew Lloyd Webber has bought the rights to my musical, The Fart War Own Opera.
And he's given you £50,000.
Yeah.
You can do it twice.
Oh my goodness. We've just bought 12 more episodes of Pulse Nation. Yeah.
That's great.
You don't have to spend the money.
I wanted to be the co-host.
I'll let you come back and co-host sometime.
Oh, yes.
And now our final section. Now that we know we're saved, we can have a sort of free and easy last section. I know you're all very tense about the future of the show, so hopefully we can just unclench and talk about this heart-hitting topic. How often do you wash your towels? This is from The Express. A laundry expert, Ecova, has suggested how often you should wash your towels. How often do you wash your towels, Mark Simmons?
Okay, so I've got maybe a unique situation that I don't wash them very often, but I don't use them very often. I've got about six towels I've stolen from travel lodges.
Yeah.
And they're on a rotation. So you don't actually have to do a wash that often because I'm using one and the other and the other. So
yeah. How big is your bathroom?
It's not. Oh, it's in my. They're in sort of in
the airy cupboard.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
See, my first thought was that I have a bit of an unusual situation. Either that you don't shower at all, or that you have one of those sort of like leisure centre drying machines.
Yeah.
You know, like the sort of like step in pod that goes shh, and everyone's like watching. Yeah. You pay like £3. You go in. And it's
so
like
it's like one of those hand ones, but full
yeah,
body.
Yeah, a human hair dryer.
Have you been in one?
Yeah.
How does it feel on your
Well, you're fully clothed at the top. Well, not fully
what?
Clothed. Well, you're in your swimming trunks.
Okay.
And it's just
not so fun.
Yeah. It's all right. It's not that effective, really, I'd say. And it's not worth the embarrassment of everyone like walking past you going, oh, look at that guy in the thing.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But you have six travel lodge towels on rotation.
Well, I don't know exactly how many, but I get annoyed.
It's in that ballpark.
I get annoyed with how much they suddenly increase the prices to. And I heard that travel lodge sort of add in an extra bit of money because they assume people will steal the towels.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking if I'm paying for those towels anyway,
yeah, you just take
you
them.
Should, yeah.
I should have just them. And them. They're big.
I support that.
And the little shower gels
they're
and
big,
everything.
They're big towels. Yeah. And you can't do it. No, there's no shower gels because it's all in the.
Oh, yeah. And the Travelodge ones are horrible. It's this sort of weird pink goop.
But that's, I think the reason they've made it pink is because some people were doing naughties in there. So I think, so you know that there's no naughty stuff coming out.
Oh, I see. Mm. So, oh, God. So it would highlight.
It used to be a white liquid. And I wouldn't really trust it.
No. I mean, that is very interesting, but quite traumatizing, actually. That's horrible. Let's get off this. How often do you wash your towels, Alex?
I actually broke my washing machine by washing towels because I didn't account for the fact that towels take on
so much water. Yeah.
So
that's what they're for.
So
that's,
never.
That's their purpose.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, theoretically, I would wash them every... I don't know, a couple of weeks. That's
okay.
A bit much. That's too much, isn't it?
Yeah. That's
if you did have a single towel, you've lost all your travel wash towels. They've been stolen back by.
Well, I'd never wash it because I need it. you need two at least, don't you? You need one
in rotation. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, according to Ecover in the Express, you should wash your towels once a week. That is the
that's
suggestion.
Too much.
What about your bed sheets? Is that the
are you
supposed to wash those?
You are supposed to wash those. Yeah. And let me find the article because they did say how often you were meant to do it.
Once a week. That's Ecover propaganda to get you to pay for their product.
Yeah, to
once
be fair,
that's rubbish.
That's not good for the environment, is it? To wash
exactly
so many towels.
Because it's really bad. The towel usage and the bedding usage is one of the biggest energy contributors in the hotel
industry.
Theoretically,
the cleanest you'll ever be after a shower.
Yeah, that's true.
Why? Yeah.
And wettest.
Yeah.
Though. So technically. Oh, so I see. Sorry.
Do you know what I mean?
I see what you mean. Yeah, there's no dirt on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should never have to wash them.
I don't know about never, but
but they're wet and mouldy, and that's not mouldy.
Yeah, if you put them on an aerator and it's in a well ventilated room,
you sound like sort of like a landlord special here, like well ventilated room. Yeah. I'm not sorting out your mould; it's your own
whatever.
Issue.
Yeah.
Hotels used to try and tempt you to not change your towels if you're staying in somewhere for a little while. They'll give you little incentives and you can have a free drink with your lasagna. in the restaurant later.
Wow.
They used to do that.
Really? Yeah. No, they don't. But they don't do that anymore.
For the environment.
Why do hotels have white towels? It feels like a bit of a risk. No?
Well, I suppose
or is it to show that they're clean?
I think so.
Yeah. It's the opposite of there's no cum in the shower jar from Travelodge. That's what it is.
You want there to be cum on your towels. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you're looking for that.
Yeah.
Sign
of a good
reception.
Hotel.
Yep. There's no cum on my towels. Can you send up some more, please?
Sign of a good hotel. Or someone to.
Yeah.
Or they will be in a minute.
Oh, well, look, it's been a delight to have you both in the studio. I'm so glad we saved the show with Andrew Lloyd Webber's money. And thank you for coming back to FUBAR, Mark. As I said before, you've got your YouTube special, youtube.com/MarkSimmons. You've got your new 2026 tour. You're very ahead of the game.
Yeah. Do you think the cum chat's going to encourage people to go and check it out?
Oh, yeah. If that cum chat doesn't sell out, Knaresborough Arts Centre, I don't know what will. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, go check out all of Mark's stuff at Jokes with Mark or on Instagram. Alex, which Instagram would you like to plug? You've got a few.
I think it's difficult here. Come and see my musical when it's on called The Shocking Truth About Flat Earth.
It's a very good musical.
Remember that.
I've got the funniest line in it, remember?
When's it on?
It's hopefully in September.
Where?
I don't know yet. We'll find out.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to know. Oh, cool. That'd be cool.
I'll keep you posted.
And if you're into football, specifically Arsenal, you can check me out on YouTube, The Different Knock.
Different Knock, yeah. It's a very good chat. I don't
West
know.
Ham.
Sorry about Rice.
We're playing you
soon. We're going to spank you.
Mm-hmm. That's the sort.
Really?
I just have the least sort of assuming football lads in the that just be like, we're going to spank you.
I'm going to absolutely spank you. I'm going to drive right through your defence.
Okay, right, come on. I know this is uncensored, but we have some decorum at the very least. Thank you to Danny Andrew, our mystery guest today. You can go to dannysricecakes.co.uk to buy his rice cakes and other such products. Thank you to producer Kieran and Yasmin in the booth, at FUBAR Radio for all your radio needs, at Stand Up Andrew for all your Andrew White needs. You can subscribe, rate and tune in each week via podcasts as well. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, like that, give us a 5-star rating. It really helps with the algorithms. Otherwise, tune in next week as we've saved the show. I'm going to go to the Leicester Square paper sliced pizza right now, get out my cash from Andrew Lloyd Webber, and we'll see you next time on Pulse of the Nation.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.